This shiur is meant to be an introduction to Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos on Monday and Thursday, a shiur that, based on the shiur that the Rav gave in honor of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's Yahrzeit, on the 3rd of Shvat. The Rambam, in the 12th perek of Hilchas Tefillah, a perek that's dedicated to the laws of Kriyas HaTorah, opens the perek and writes about the takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll read the Rambam in just a moment. And about the takana of Ezra. This year, we'll analyze the relationship between takanas Moshe and takanas Ezra, and focus on the issue of why Ezra added his takana, why Moshe didn't make those additions, and to what extent can we define Moshe Rabbeinu's goal and his takana as being fundamentally different from the goal that Ezra set with his takana. To what extent can one fulfill Takanas Moshe even without fulfilling Takanas Ezra? Let's get back to the Rambam. The opening Rambam in the 12th parak of Hilchas Tefillah, Moshe Rabbeinu Tikein Lam LiYisrael, Shiu Korim Batorah Barabim B'Shabbos U'B'Sheni U'V'Chamishi B'Shachris. Moshe Rabbeinu set up a Takana on three different days of the week, Shabbos, Sheni, and Chamishi. All three refer to Kriyas HaTorah B'Shachris. Barabim, they require a Tzibur. And we're not talking about Shabbos Mincha. The Rambam continues, Kidei Shelo Yishu Shloshes Yomim B'li Shmias Torah. The goal of Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu is not to allow for a three-day gap in Shmias HaTorah. The Rambam continues, V'Ezra Tikein Shiyu Korin Kein B'Mincha B'Chol Shabbos Mishum Yoshvei Kronos. We'll soon see the sugya in Bava Kama, which is the source of the Rambam, that reports that Ezra established Takana to read the Torah on Mincha on Shabbos and Mincha for the purpose of Yoshvei Kronos. This is to encourage them to join in the Beis Knesses in the study of Torah. V'gam, and this is the important part of the Rambam, Hu Tikein, Ezra in addition made the following Takana, Sheyu Korin B'Sheni U'V'Chamishi, which we already had Sheni U'V'Chamishi through Takanas Moshe, but what did Ezra do to change the Takana of Moshe of Sheni U'V'Chamishi? Shlosha B'nei Adam. There has to be a minimum of three people reading from the Torah. No less than three will do. V'lo Yikru Pachos Me'asar P'sukim. And the barest minimum must be 10 P'sukim. The Rambam is based on a sugi Bava Kama Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the sugi of Takanas Ezra, and the Lashon HaShas is as follows: Meikara Tiknu Chad Gavra Tlosa Psuki. So either one Ola in the original Takan of Moshe, reading three Psukim, Inami Talsa Gavri Talsa Psuki, or we call three people and we would read three psukim, meaning each one would read a pasuk. Also, who Ezra came along with Tikein Tlosa Gavri, right? According to the Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, one Gavra could have been sufficient. Ezra required, as an absolute requirement, three Gavri, no less than three Olim will do. V'yud Psuki, and the number of psukim that have to be read cannot be shy of 10. The Rambam mentions Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara mentions the Nevi'im The question is there some discrepancy between the Rambam and the Gemara? You have to look at the Kesef Mishnah for that. Right now, that's not on our agenda. But be that as it may, it's clear beyond the shadow of a doubt that the source for the Rambam here in Perek Yud Beis is the Gemara in Bava Kama. But there are a number of questions that have to be raised, both in terms of the way the Rambam formulates his halacha and to understand the Takana in general. The Gemara in Bava Kama explains that when the Nevi'im established Kriyas HaTorah and Sheni V'Chamishi, why? Because Kedei Shelo Yolinu Shlosha Yomim Below Torah. 3 days should not pass by without Torah. If you're meticulous about reading the Rambam seems to have made a change, and instead of 3 days without Torah, the Rambam says below Shmias Torah. And the question that we want to raise is why, what does the Rambam add with the word Shmia? What new idea? I mean, why not leave the Gemara as is, below Torah? Apparently the Rambam felt that there was some addition to the word by adding the word Shmia, and the question is, what is that addition? At face value, it doesn't add anything. Now, perhaps we could suggest, in the light of this kasha, that Shmias Divrei Torah is emphasizing the mechanical act of hearing as opposed to studying. Meaning, would the mitzvah, would the chiyuv be to understand the Torah or just simply to read and hear the Torah? And the Rambam is limiting the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah to Shmias HaTorah. You don't have to understand what you're reading. And that would be a fascinating approach, because that would indicate why Moshe Rabbeinu put the emphasis on Shmia, and Ezra may have very well wanted to go beyond that, expanding and enhancing the Takon of Kriyas HaTorah to include Havanas HaTorah as well. The other way of explaining the Rambam could be that Shmia is a requirement that's imposed on each individual member of the community to hear the Kriya. You might think that just being there at the time of the Kriya is sufficient even without Shmia, meaning you have to set up a Kriya that could lend itself to Shmia, but whether or not each individual has to hear the Shmia or not, we don't know. And this might touch on the very fundamental issue, well-known question, about the nature of the chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah. Is it a chovas tzibur, which means that we read it bifnei atzibur, or is it a chovas yachid, and each individual has his own personal obligation to fulfill by listening to the Torah? If on the one end it's a chiyuv tzibur, then one could ostensibly argue that that mitzvah is fulfilled through Kriya alone. And maybe Shmia is not necessary. The Kriya is an act that's done by one member of the Tzibur, but as a bar koach, as a representative of the Tzibur itself, the entire Tzibur. Whether each individual has to hear the Torah, that could be a secondary question. The Rambam, emphasizing Shmias Torah, might be leading us towards the second definition that we suggested, namely that Kriyas HaTorah is not just a communal obligation, but rather it's an individual obligation. And my individual obligation is to hear the Torah. I mean, Mashalma Dover Doma Litkia Shofar. The mitzvah is Shmia. The bracha is a Shema Kol Shofar. And that's certainly a Chovas Yachid. Every individual has to hear the shofar. From the perspective of the Chovas Tzibur, then one person blowing the shofar might be sufficient And it's not necessarily so that each person has to hear the shofar. You may require a shmiah that could lead to a kriya that could lead to shmiah. But if somebody makes a loud noise and I can't hear the kriya, I'm still part of that tzibur, and the Baal Koreh created a kriya which could have been heard. I didn't hear it because of some sort of distractive noise. So again, with regard to the Rav's first question, as to what the Rambam gains and enhances the text by adding the word shmia, we have two possible suggestions. One is that shmia lafuke havana, the mitzvah is only to hear the words of the Torah, not to necessarily understand them. Understanding is not critical. And number two, perhaps the Rambam wants to tell you that everybody in the tzibur has to hear the Torah. It's not enough to be there. The nochachus at the time of the kriya of the Koreh is not sufficient. You need an active shmir. We'll see how the Rav develops this, but that would just be our first reaction. Let's see the Rav's second question. The Gemara explains the significance of the number 3 with regard to kriya satorah in the context of Takanas Moshe. Again, let's keep in mind that Takanas Moshe requires either 3 psukim or 3 gavri. But the number 3 is critical. With regard to 3 gavri, the symbolism is keneged kohenim levim v'yisraelim, which means that this kriyas haTorah has to involve all of Klal Yisrael. The number 3 of these 3 people who are getting aliyos is representative of the entire tzibur, the entire community of Adas Yisrael. So we have here, in a sense, a microcosm. This tzibur represents all of Klal Yisrael. The 3 psukim would represent Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, and indicate that this kriya is not limited to the particular parasha that's being read in actuality, but really relates to Kol HaTorah Kula. And basically what we're saying is that this kriya is not only a microcosm of all of Klal Yisrael, but it's also an abbreviated form of reading all of the Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula. So the kriya represents all of Klal Yisrael and all of the Torah. However, Moshe did not establish a system of 3 gavre that no less than 3 would do, and 10 psukim. That was not part of Moshe Rabbeinu's takana. Although the 3 gavri, keneged kohanim, levim, yisraelim, does find a place within Moshe's takana, it's not an absolute requirement. And the asara, the Gemara establishes, of asara psukim, which was instituted by Ezra, that represents the asara batlonin. And this concept of asara batlonim needs to be understood. Perhaps we could say, in answer to the Rav's question, that the asara batlonim guarantee that in each community and in each city in Israel, there will be enough people to form a quorum, to set up a minyan. And once again, that minyan in that city will reach out to other people, all the members of the city, to come and join in the kriya. So the number 10 is critical because it sets up, or so to speak, almost a built-in guarantee that the city will see to it that there's a kriya, and the Torah will be heard because we'll invite everyone to come and listen to the Torah. although not everyone can commit to Kam, but the Asar Batlonim can. But getting back to Ezra, the question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu was not demanding regarding the Asar Psukim, why was Ezra? And the same is true with regard to Tlas Gavri. Now, what we want to do now is turn the page and study the Rambam in the same parak, Perek Yud Beis, but this time Halacha He. Excuse me, Halacha Yud. And the Rambam writes about the Takon of Ezra, but we'll read the Rambam's language carefully, and there's a Chiddush in the Rambam. The subject of this Halacha Yud is what's called a Meturgamon. And this added an entirely new dimension to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. The Rama writes, "Miyamos Ezra Nagu Shihei Sham Miturgamon Letarge Mashakore Kori B'Torah Kedeshi Avinu Inyan Advarim." We discussed earlier that Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana was Shmias Torah, not Havanas Torah. But the role of the Meturgamon in Kriyas HaTorah is to add an entirely new dimension to Kriyas HaTorah. Now it's upgraded to the level of Havanas HaTorah. That's through the vehicle, through the achievement of the Metargame, who offers us an insight in our vernacular to what the Torah is saying. So for those who don't understand the Torah, the Meturgamon makes it easy to understand. Again, the source for the Rambam, in this case, is not the Gemara Bava Kama, but rather the Sugi Megillah. It's also in the Dorim. Omar Rav Ika Bar Oven Omar Rav Chananel Omar Rav Maidich Siv. Quoting a pasuk in the 8th parak of Nehemiah, Vayikru B'Sefer Torah Hashem Elokim. This is the first time that Ezra implemented his takana of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur Mefurash V'Shom Seichel V'Yavinu B'Mikra. So the Gemara in Megillah darshins every one of these words. Vayikru B'Sefer Torah Selukim Zu Mikra. So the first element indicated by this pasuk is Mikra. But that's not enough. Then the reading required Meforash. Meforash is a targum, meaning it's a pirush. And what does Vishom Seichel indicate? Elu apsukim. This is a remez to the 10 psukim, minimum requirement from the perspective of Takonis Ezra. V'yavinu b'mikra. What is V'yavinu b'mikra? Elu Ela pisuke ta'amim. V'amrile Ela amesores. So there are various dimensions to the takana of Ezra that are indicated by this pasuk as the Gemara dashes in Megillah. However, we go back to the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis Al-Chiyud that we just read earlier, and you'll notice that the Rambam says, Miyamos Ezra Nagu Sheyehe Sham Miturgamon. The word Nagu seems to indicate that as far as Takonis Ezra is concerned per se, the Takona did not include Mitargem. The Mitargem element and requirement is only Mishum Minog. Now it's true that the Rambam admits that this minig started at the time of Ezra, but clearly separates this apart from the Takon itself, which he had formulated at the beginning of this parak. From the Gemara, you get a different impression. The Gemara is darshaning the pasuk that describes the original Takon of Ezra and the way it was implemented, and required a Metargem. So again, let's read the Rambam carefully. Mimos Ezra Nagu Shiei Sham Miturgamon. The Rambam doesn't write Ezra Tikein Lehem Yisrael, that he made the Takana and he instituted a requirement of Miturgamon. It's not so. According to the Rambam, it's explicit that Ezra did not make that as an absolute requirement, but rather it was a minig that sprung up at the time of Ezra. However, with regard to the minimum requirement of 3 korim or 10 psukim, the Rambam writes Ezra was masaking that. That was his original presentation back in Halacha Aleph. Ezra tikkun shu korim kain, etc., etc. V'gam hu tikkun shu korim shlosha b'nei yom yekru pachos mishlot masar psukim. Why does the Rambam differentiate between Miturgamon and the 3 Gavri and the Asar Psukim? L'chora, from the Gemara, dashing the Pasuk in Nechemiah, you get the simple impression that Ezra established the requirement of Miturgamon, the Rambam leaves it out. This question gets even stronger in the light of the Yerushalmi in Perek HaKorei Omed in Megillah. The Yerushalmi has a discussion about whether the requirement of a Metargim in Kriyas HaTorah is Vikuva, it's absolutely indispensable or not. And the conclusion that one derives from the Yerushalmi is that there's a distinction between the Takana of reading Asar Psukim and calling 3 Bnei Adam on the one hand, and the Takana of Targum on the other hand. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi assumes that Ezra established both, but with regard to the Asar Psukim and the Gimel Gavre, the Yerushalmi established in conclusion that the Metargim is not Likuva. You can survive without the Metargim. The Yerushalmi would seem to indicate that Ezra did in fact establish both, in other words, the number of psukim and gavri and the metargim, but with regard to the number of psukim and korim, that seems to be integrated into the takon of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's an absolute requirement. Again, when I say integrated into the takon of Moshe Rabbeinu, what I mean to say is that Ezra expanded the requirements of the original Takkot of Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of the number of people who must be called, the minimum number, and the minimum number of psukim that must be read. But with regard to the Metargim requirement, this may have been established by Ezra, and that's certainly the impression you get from the Yerushalmi, but it's not indispensable, it's not an absolute requirement, it's not an extension of the requirements of the Takkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. There is Kriya without a Targum. Again, it's not a Hidur Mitzvah, it's certainly a fallback position, it's not what we want L'chatchila. And the Kriya without a Targum would not be so perfect, but nevertheless, the Tzibur would fulfill their Chiyuv, because it's not part of Ezra's extension of the Takkana of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rav suggests that that's what the Rama means when he employs the term Nagu in Halacha Yud regarding Targum. This Nagu is an allusion to the fact that it's not Likuva. It's not an absolute requirement. But once again, it's a little bit odd that Targum is not an absolute requirement, because the Pasuk in Nechemiah, which testifies to the Kriyas HaTorah, the first Kriyas HaTorah, based on Takkan of Ezra, it seems to indicate that a Metargim was there. Why should that be defined as a Minig, which is not Likuva? I mean, what makes it sets it apart from the other dimensions of Ezra's Takkan, namely the minimum number of Psukim, minimum of Gavre? So let's just summarize the 3 questions that we have so far. Firstly, we're confused about the Asar Batlonim, namely the requirement of Ezra to read 10 psukim. What's that all about? And in the context of that question, we have to understand what Moshe's Takana was, what Ezra's Takana was, why Moshe did not institute the absolute requirement of 3 Gavri, or the requirement of Tem Sukim? Why did that have to wait till Ezra? That's question number one. Question number two is with regard to the Metargim. The Rambam writes that Nahagu, and yet the Pasuk in Nehemiah seems to indicate that that was all part of the original Takana. And the last question, which was the first question that we discussed earlier, is why the Rambam adds the word Shmiah to define the Takana Moshe Rabbeinu as Shmiah Satorah. The fourth question is based on a comparison between the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, a Perek Yud Beis, meaning Halacha Aleph, and two Halachas later in Halacha Gimel. In Halacha Aleph, with regard to Ezra's addition to the Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana, the Rambam writes, Gam, hu tikein sheyu korin b'sheni v'chamishi shlosha b'nei yodam, lo yikru pachos me'asar psukim. As we've seen earlier, the Rambam establishes that Ezra's Takana required a minimum of three korim and ten psukim. But then in Halacha Gimel, to our surprise, the Rambam seems to give a chazorah shiur. He repeats what he said earlier, just two halachas earlier. It's almost continued. He says, "Ein korim b'torah b'tzir pachos me'asar anoshim gedolim b'nei korim." Means you must have a minion. That's fine. And then he says, "Ein korim pachos me'asar psukim." And then he says, "V'lo you a korim pachos mishlosha anoshim." It's mamash a repeat performance. So the Rav suggests the following. From the perspective of Halacha Aleph, the requirement of three Korim and Asar Psukim is an extension of Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana. We'll call it an enhancement of Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana. But supposing we were not able to, or we did not fulfill Ezra's addition to the Takana of Moshe. Let's say, for example, Lu Yitzuyer, we can't put together three Gavri. Or we couldn't read ten Psukim. Or we didn't read ten Psukim. Would we at least be able to salvage the Takana, the Kiyum of Takana's Moshe Rabbeinu? True. Ezra enhanced that Takana, and he upgraded the requirements. But if you fell short of Ezra's Takana, you could still argue that you salvaged the Takana of Moshe, and you have that Kiyum Biyodo. If that be the case, that's the Chiddush of the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, Lafuke that Svara, and to establish that if you don't have the Minyan Apsukim or the Minyan Olim that Ezra was Mesaken, don't even bother reading the Torah. The Rambam in Halacha Gimel is setting up the absolute requirements, halacha l'maisa, for Kriyas HaTorah. And if you don't have them, you don't have the Gimel Korim and the Asar Psukim, don't read the Torah at all. From the perspective of Halacha Aleph, he's just describing the Takana of Ezra, and therefore you would assume that if you cannot fulfill the Takana of Ezra, but at least you can, at the very minimum, you could salvage the Takana, the Kiyum Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam, that once Ezra established a requirement of three and ten, then there's no getting away with less. And it would be pointless and futile to read the Torah less than ten psukim or less than three gavri and claim, well, I want to achieve a kiyum of Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. Taint no such thing. That's why the Rambam emphasized in Halacha Gimel, that it's an absolute requirement to have the 10 and the 3. Less than that, don't even bother. You'll have no kiyum at all. But this is very odd, because does Ezra really in fact have the power and the authority to establish 10 psukim and gimel korim? Moshe required only gimel psukim. So if you're reading less than 10 psukim, so again, you'll have to forfeit the kiyum of Takanas Ezra. But does Ezra have the power to undermine the Takana Moshe Rabbeinu? If the Rambam Halacha Gimel is telling me that with less than three gavri and less than ten psukim, don't even bother reading, it's absolutely meaningless. notwithstanding the Bracha Matala issue in Birchas HaTorah before and after, how does Ezra have the power to do so? We have a principle that Ein Bezin Yochel Vatel Divri Bezin Chaveru Elim Ken Gadol Mimenu B'Chochma Minyan. So a whole sugya in Beitza, which establishes that it's impossible for a later Bezdin to undermine the takon of an earlier Bezdin. Meaning, if Ezra would have said, I want to embellish this takon and add new dimensions to it, but b'di'evit, if you don't fulfill my takon, at least you'll have salvaged, you'll have gained the takon of the kiyum of takonis Moshe Benu of the Nicha. That I understand, because then Ezra is only being machmir. You don't need a Bezdin Gadol Mimenu B'Chochma Minyan to be machmir, to say that, go beyond. But to say that as a result of Takanas Ezra, you cannot fulfill no longer, no way, the Takanas Moshe with Moshe's minimum requirements, that comes under the halacha of Gadol Mimenu B'Chochma Minyan, which clearly Ezra doesn't have. And it's a kal v'chom, because the Gemara says in Maseh Megillah on that base, regarding the question, how could the Chachmei Mishnah institute Kriyas HaMegillah by day? Isn't this in conflict with the Takana of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The Takana of the Chachmei Mishnah, which is much later than the Takon of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the original Takon of Megillah, is that if the Bnei Kfarim could not make it into the big city, and they weren't able to read it in their own towns, so if they weren't able to make it in time for Kriyas HaMegillah, we're going to establish on the Yom Knisa, when these, let's say, local, those who inhabit the local towns that surround the main urban center, when they come in, that's called the Yom HaKnisa, the market days, let's say Monday and Thursday, that's when we'll have a special Kriyas HaTorah on their behalf, on behalf of those people who live in the outlying communities. Because they can't make it any day, they only make the trek on Mondays and Thursdays for market day. But other days of the week, you can't demand of them to come into the big city. They just simply don't have the wherewithal of doing so. And on this, the Gemara asks, "Va'ein bezdin yochel avatel chavero elam kein gadol b'menu b'chochma minyan." Meaning, how could you establish a new Kriyas HaMegillah and a new opportunity on Yom HaKnisa to fulfill the mitzvah Megillah reading? That would be mevatel the original takona of Megillah on Yudalit and Tesvav. And how much more so should we raise the same issue with regard to a takona in Kriyas HaTorah that you cannot be yotze with less than 10 psukim? Because here, in adding 10 psukim, it would absolutely make sense to be machmir and say that we require 10 psukim. But to say that therefore the tzibur cannot fulfill at least the takon of Moshe Rabbeinu, unless they have 10 psukim, they read 3 psukim, which was the takon of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you're telling me they can't be yotze, they haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. So if you want to say they haven't been yotze b'shleimus, you know, you want to enhance and embellish the mitzvah, so that embellishment which was established by Ezra is not fulfilled with less than 10 psukim. But to go ahead and say, as the Rambam says here in Halacha Gimel in Perkei Beis, that you don't even bother reading the Torah if you don't have Gimel Gavri or 10 psukim to be read, that's really a kula. That's not being machmir. Then you're undermining the obligation in this case, and you're saying, okay, you don't have this possibility to fulfill the Takanas Ezra, so we're going to be laid back about it. Do nothing. Don't even bother reading the Torah. How could that be? I mean, what about the requirement of fulfilling the Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu? So you're being makil on the requirement, the chiyuv, established by Moshe Rabbeinu. Who says that you, in a later time period, in Ezra and Beis Dino, have the right, the authority, to create such a kula, which means that under certain circumstances, you won't have the obligation at all of Kriyas HaTorah. But let's, you know, having piled up all these caches, let's ask the following question, just to kick off our analysis. And we'll finish the shiur pretty soon, but I wanted to give an introduction, and I think there's one element that's absolutely critical to this introduction. And that is, and the Rav is pretty famous for this chiddush, based on a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, it says, "Devayikach Sefer HaBris, Vayikra bi'oznei ha'am." This was at the episode of Krisas Bris, when Klal Yisrael entered into the Bris at the time of Matan Torah. And there the discussion is about reading psukim in Torah Shebichsav. And the Krisas Bris, to clinch the Gerus, the national Gerus of Knesset Yisrael at the time Matan Torah, was done through the vehicle of Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaPsukim. And when the Torah adds the words Vayikra Bi'oznei Ha'am, those two words Bi'oznei Ha'am, indicate that there is a necessity of Shmias HaKol, to hear the reading, the voice of the reader of the Torah. So it's an act of reading into the ears of the listeners. And the Rav writes as follows: Pu'ulas hakriya baznayim lo alimut shenitfas b'lev moach hivta moked ha'pu'ula. The focal point and the emphasis of this action was listening to the words of the Torah, not necessarily studying them in a way that is understood, it's grasped by the mind. In other words, from the perspective of this pasuk, of this Vayikra Sefer HaBris, Bi'oznei Ha'am, we can possibly derive the conclusion, let's think about this, that Kriyas HaTorah Shebichsav, when we're talking about reading psukim in the oral, in scriptures, there is a mitzvah, a kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah, even without limud and havana. So the korei and the shomer, they don't understand the Torah, but yet that is the mitzvah of vayikach, etc., vayikra bi'ozneiam. I'm not clear, maybe it'll become clearer as the Rav goes along, if that pasuk and that parasha, that episode of Krisas Bris can prove something about a kiyum mitzvah. I don't know, it was a one-time thing. They had the bris. It was instituted, it was established and clinched by the Kriyas HaTorah. But I don't know if you could talk about kiyumim in Kriyas HaTorah. It's there, the Kriyas HaTorah is serving a function. And that function is to create the bris. I don't know if you can say that that's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Rav says, yesh kiyum miyuchad shel kriya, to set up a mitzvah and a kiyum. Again, in this case, Kriya without Limud, I mean, the Rav might be right, but I don't understand if he's building himself on that particular parsha, which was a one-time occurrence at that moment in time, to generate the Bris and the Gerus. So they had to read Torah Shebichsav, and they didn't have to even understand Torah Shebichsav. I don't know if you could universalize that and draw an absolute conclusion about the nature of the kiyum mitzvah of reading the Torah. Again, in that particular instance, the reading of the Torah clinched the bris. But I don't know if that means that you can derive conclusions in general. I mean, the Rav seems to assume that if it's meaningful to read the Torah without understanding it, to just read psukim, in the case of a bris, then it should be meaningful in general to read psukim. Again, that last little gap is a little confusing to me. But the Rav has a second proof, perhaps an even better one, that the mitzvah of Kriya B'Torah can be fulfilled even without Havana. And that's the case in the mitzvah of Hakel, where the Torah commands the reading of the Torah publicly in front of the entire community of Israel, Noshim, V'taf, Gerim, everybody's included in this chiyuv, to come and gather together in a great assembly to read the Torah once in 7 years in the midst of Hakel. And the Rav points out that many people for sure didn't understand the reading of Hakel, and yet they had to come. And in the Gemara at the beginning of Chagiga, Rav Lozman Azari is famous for saying about Noshim Boim Lilmod, the men will understand, Noshim Bos Lishmoa, Taf Loma Boim, Kedeli Teng Schar Limivayim. So you have all these groups, the men, the women, the children. There's not necessarily Havana here in all these sectors. There may or may not be. And the Rambam is very, very powerful on this issue. It's in the third paragraph of Hilchas Chagiga, that's where the Rambam codifies the laws of Hakel. He writes, V'gerim, she'eno makirim. So those three words are quite explicit, that even those who aren't capable of understanding what's going on, they don't know the language even, they speak a different vernacular, a different language. Nevertheless, these gerim, Chayovim, says the Rambam, lahochin libam ulahakshiv oznam lishmoa. Again, the word lishmoa. Be'ema uveyira begila bera'oda ke'om shenitnebo besina. So you see, for this Rambam, the way he understood the Gemara in Chagiga, that there's a kiyum of reading the Talmud, of reading psukim, divrei Torah shebichtav, without understanding them, and it's apparently a kiyum of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, once again, I'm a little bit confused here because I don't know if we have to accept this argument as conclusive. After all, we're not talking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we're talking about the mitzvah of Hakel, which was meant to have some sort of, spook the people out, the Ema, the Yira, the Gila, etc., to have an uplifting experience of Hakel. I don't know if you can derive conclusions from Hakel to the general mitzvah the whole year round of Talmud Torah. And to say just because in Hakel the mitzvah is to read psukim without understanding them even, Yotze the mitzvah without Havana, therefore in general Talmud Torah can be fulfilled without Havana, if it's reading Torah Shebichtav. I don't know, Meichatesi. I mean, I don't see that the proof is convincing that mitzvah that we're categorizing in Hilchas Chagiga, and in the Gemara at the beginning of Chagiga, is a halacha in mitzvahs Hakel. That's the nature of the mitzvah of Hakel, that it has an impact on those who come in that glorious and moving scene, the Melech reading the Psukim, and the whole tzibur of Klal Yisrael is together. I mean, you can imagine. But also Mamed Gadol, in such a Maimed, that there's an impact and a kiyum in reading the Torah, even to those who don't understand. But that's, again, unique to the mitzvah of Hakka. I don't know if you can universalize, but the Rav seems to be going in that direction. Look at his third proof. I mean, you remember his first proof was from the Bris at the time of Geiris of Klai. So the second proof is from the Geirim who don't understand Lashon Kodesh, and yet they come to hear in Hakel. Now he has a third proof from Kriyas HaMegillah. Yilazim Yotzim B'Kriyas Megillah B'Lashon HaKodesh Afich HaMegillah. The Gemara says that anyone can be Yotzim the mitzvah of Megillah, even if he doesn't understand the language that the Megillah is written in. I mean, at this point, the Rav doesn't explicitly say that you see from Megillah that there's a kiyum of Kriya without Avon in Torah Shebichtav. He just says, once again, we see the significance of hearing words of Tanakh, in this case, Megillus Esther, as an act of Kriya and Shmiya without Havana. And yet the Torah elevates that to a Kiyum. So I think this last line in the Rav's presentation here is Megala on the first two proofs. You know, again, the Rav is not proving that there's a mitzvah and a Kiyum of Talmud Torah Shebichtav through Kriya without Havana, based on these three sugyas that he quotes, but rather the sum total of what each one of these sugyas individually and collectively teach us, and they drive the nail in, is that there is a certain significance to hearing Torah Shebichtav even without reading it. And that expresses itself in a bris, in a mitzvah of hakel, and in the mitzvah of kriyas hamegilah. So the Rav's language is false. Adavar barer me'elav ki biyachas l'torish bal peh leka kiyuma dekriya klal uklal mitzvahs limud nemar b'torish bal peh v'kiyuma rakei de'avonis advar. So the Rav says that in contradistinction to Torah Shebichsav, in the case of Torah Shebal Peh, there is no kiyum kriya at all. Kriya without havana is completely devoid of any kiyum mitzvah. You don't get any brownie points. It's worthless. Torah Shebal Peh requires havana. That's the nature of Torah Shebal Peh, the nature of the mitzvah, and the fulfillment only comes through havana sadvarim, through an understanding of the Torah Shebal Peh. Nothing less than understanding will do. Now, what the Rav is going to address in the next part of the shiur, and this is going to lead him to a gigantic digression to tefillin and limud Torah and kesset Torah, the Rav is going to wonder, what is the nature of a kiyum kriya without havana? It seems like a mechanical act that has no value to it. So the Rav is going to try to put this into perspective in a broader sense. What is the value, the benefit that we gain from hearing Divrei Torah, in this case Torah Shebichsav, without understanding the Divrei Torah? And as we conclude the Shia, this introduction, the Rav mentions Rashi Masechta Brachos Daf Vav Amud Beis. It's a very famous, what seems to the service to be an agadita, but it's really not an agadita. It touches on the very nature and the essence of Talmud Torah. The Gemara is talking about Pirka. Pirka means that on the Moedim and other occasions, there was a communal shir for the entire tzibur. And the people would gather and even run to hear this drasha. The question is, do they understand what was going on? So the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Vav Amud Beis, Agra de Pirka Rata. Rashi says, Ikar kibul schar abrius harotzim lishma drasha mipi chacham. Schar he schar hamarutza, the running, the sweat and toil as you run. So it means that what Rashi is telling us is that when the Gemara says Agra de pirka rata, the running, it means that's going to really be your schar. Why? Well, what's the implied critique or cynicism here? Says Rashi. Sharei rubam eina mevinim lahamik girsa velomar shmua mipi rabam liachar zman sheikablu schar limud. Rashi enumerates the conditions that are necessary in order to fulfill and obtain schar for limud Torah. Number one, you need Havana, says Rashi. And not just Havana on a superficial level, but the ability of reconstructing what you heard, the shiur that you heard, in front of somebody else, not your Rebbe, I mean, you heard it from your Rebbe, but at some later date, you're able to say over the Torah that you heard from your Rebbe. You can repeat the drasha. And that's only possible, that's feasible, if you understood the drasha. And since most people do not understand the drush in that way, you know, with the capacity to transmit it further, because it takes a lot more to transmit something than just to listen and understand. You can listen and convince yourself that you understood. But a real fundamental grasp of the subject matter could only be tested by your ability to transmit it to others, to teach it to others. So Rashi says, since you fall short of the mitzvah of Havana Satorah, and as we said before, Havana as it expressed itself in the highest level of Havana, therefore what you're left with is Schar Merutza. You know, Shkoyach, you'll get rewarded, you get brownie points for running, hassling yourself to get to the drasha. So Rashi is going very far over here, the Rav points out. He's saying that for the kiyum, to obtain the kiyum of the mitzvah Talmud Torah, in the case of Torah Shebal Peh, in the case of the drasha, it's not enough to have havanas hadvarim. You have to remember them, you have to understand them so clearly that they're organized in your minds, and all these And yecholus, you have the ability to present them to others after a period of time. But someone who misha tofas es hatochen b'shas hartzaos of a shachal achazman, even if he understood, he grasped the subject matter at the time of the drush, but after a certain period of time, he no longer remembers the Torah that he heard. And how much more so if he didn't understand the Torah from the very beginning, then I'm sorry to break it to you, but the schar, the reward that you're going to get for all of that is just merutza. Because a momentary understanding of what the Rebbe said is not called limud. Limud means it becomes part of you, you understand it, you can recall it. And that's why we say, Rashi says in Masechta Brachos, on the Gemara that says Torah, right, the Gemara is dashing a pasuk that says Torah, zu mikra, says Rashi, chumish, and why is it called mikra? Shemitzvah likros ba Torah. Wow, that's interesting that Rashi himself explains why we use the term mikra, it's all of a shas, to indicate the chamisha chumshei Torah. And the answer is because Rashi says the definition of the mitzvah with regard to that part of the Torah, the meaning Torah Shebichtav, is kriya. That's why it's called mikra. And the Rav ends this section by quoting a Gemara, a very famous Gemara in Kiddushin, v'shinantam levanech shiu Torah d'rei Torah mechudada v'ficha. The Rav is assuming that there's a special mitzvah of v'shinantam levanecha with regard to Torah Shebal Peh, the key of which is obtained when the d'rei Torah mechudada v'ficha, that means if anybody asks you a question, you'll be able to respond. And that indicates that you have a grasp matter, a comprehensive grasp, an in-depth grasp of the material. You have Havanas HaTorah. And the Rav assumes that that's the absolute requirement, at least the minimum. I should say the following, that some minimum level of Havana is the absolute requirement, Likuva, in Torah Shebal Peh. Therefore, let's say you would read a Mishnah, which is part of Torah Shebal Peh, and you have no clue what you read. That would be meaningless. If, on the other hand, you read Tehillim, they used to have Tehillim Zuggers, insofar as Tehillim is part of Torah Shebichtav, even if you didn't understand the word, you would obtain a Kiyum. And this Chiddush, by the way, I saw in the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe, the Admor Mizakein, in his famous Kunshus Vilkas Talmud Torah, which is a classic. Again, he formulates it, you know, without some of the peripheral riots that the Rav is quoting here, but the basic yesod is there, Lehedja, explicitly, that there's a fundamental difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh, whereas Torah Shebichtav has kriya without havana, Torah Shebal Peh does not. So you can read all the Mishnais in the world from day till night, but if you don't understand what you're reading, then it's meaningless. And as we said before, the Rav at this point is going to raise the question, it's almost a Tamei HaMikra question, to understand the underlying principle in this halach that in Torah Shebichtav, you can have and obtain a kiyum with kriya without havana. What is the meaning of that kriya without havana? And this is going to have a special spin-off in the case of kriya satar b'tzivur, which the Rambam indicates is a kiyum of Shmias Divri Torah without Havana. Ezra is going to enhance it, but as far as Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned, we don't need Havana. And what is really the substance? What's the meaningfulness and the punch, the result and the repercussion of reading Divri Torah without understanding them? What is that kiyum of Talmud Torah with regard to Torah Shebichtav without Havana? And the Rav also adds another major chiddush. He says, in Torah Shebichtav itself there are two kiyum. There's one kiyum of kriya with Havana, one kiyum kriya alone without Havana. And it's interesting how he embellishes this. He puts this, he's malvish this whole chiddush onto a parsha in Dvarim Perek Lamed Aleph, in, I believe that's Parshas Nitzavim, check me out on that. It says over there, V'ata kisvu lachem es hashira azos v'limda es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihem. And then, at the later part of this pasuk, it says, V'yonsa hashira azos lefonav la'at. So, the Rav is medayik in the Reish and the Sefer that there are two kiyumim, two distinct kiyumim, and it's all with regard to Kriyas Torah Shebichtav. One is Sima B'fihem, just an external act of Kriya, and the other is V'onsa Shira Zos Lefon of La'ad. Let me correct myself on two counts. You're right. Yeah, it's Parshas Vayelech, not Nitzavim, sorry. And the pasuk is Laman Tia Li Hashira Hazos Li Eid Bivnei Yisrael. Sorry about that. And the Rav assumes that this pasuk of the Ansa Hashira Hazos Lefon of Li Eid Kilos Sishachach Mipi Zaro. That pasuk is referring to Havana, to teaching it to Bnei Yisrael. And the Rav assumes that you can never consider or categorize it as Shira Ke'ed. In other words, it says Le'ed. It cannot be compared to an Eid, which is a testimony that you transmit to someone else, unless there's something more than just a mechanical reading, but there's also an understanding of the text. You cannot appear as a witness if you don't understand what you're talking about. So this set of psukim, the first pasuk of Sima B'fihem, and the second pasuk of Lefonav Li'ed, indicate two different dimensions in the mitzvah of Kriyas Torah Shebichtav. The first is Kriya without Havana, and the Rav is going to say that's unique to Torah Shebichtav. It cannot apply to Torah Shebal Peh at all. Torah Shebal Peh, as we said earlier, as a mechanical act without Havana, is meaningless, has no kiyum whatsoever. The second kiyum of Torah Shebichtav, of Yonsa Shira Zos Li'ed, that Kriya with Havana integrates into and crosses over the distinction mark between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh. So in Torah Shebal Peh, as in Torah Shebichtav, you have a kiyum Havana. Or to say it this way, the kiyum Havana is common to both Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh, whereas the kiyum Kriya is unique to Torah Shebichtav. The Rav is now set up the framework to understand the difference between the nature of Takanas Moshe and that of Takanas Ezra. Takanas Moshe relates to the Kiyum Kriya of Torah Shebichtav as a Kiyum Kriya alone, without Havana, without Limud. And we don't have to understand the words. It's something similar to what we found by Mitzvah Hakel, where people gather together once every 7 years to hear the Melech read the Torah, even though many don't understand, as we mentioned before, in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the Rambam. And this obligation, for example, on Sheni v'Chamishi, is based on the pasuk of Sima B'fiyam. As we're mimicking the Sima B'fiyam kiyum, which is limud, which is kriya without limud. And we're leaving out the V'yonsa Hashira Zos La'ed. What we're going to see is that the Metargim, as a Mavayer, as one who explains the Kriya, is not an institution that's relevant to Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu, because Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu extends only as far as Kriya, but doesn't incorporate Havana. And perhaps that's this brisa that we mentioned in Bava Kama, Vayelchu Shloshes Yom Amid Lo Matzu Mayim, And Blin Eder next time will expand on the drush of Lo Matzu Mayim, that they went 3 days without Torah and they were thirsty, that they needed that Shmias Divrei Torah to quench that thirst, and that was the nature of Takanas Moshe, and has nothing to do with Havanas HaTorah. It's interesting, the Rav's language when he talks about Torah Shebaal Peh, on the other hand, for those who would read Torah Shebaal Peh without understanding it, the Rav's language is as follows: Mahi Torah Shebaal Peh Imlo Pirish Torah Shebaksav. And he alludes to the Rambam in the beginning of his Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah, where the Rambam says Pirusha Zu Torah Shebaal Peh. So the word pirush means explain something. You can't explain something without giving havana, without understanding it. So if the entire definition of Torah Shebaal Peh is a pirush to Torah Shebaal Sav, then for sure Torah Shebaal Peh must absolutely require havana. Okay, Mr. Shem will expand on this next time around when we speak about the Takon of Ezra in comparison to Takon of Moshe Rabbeinu.